Yeah, he was dynamite. I mean, his stuff was good. His changeup was really good today. Utilized it well. Fastball was good. He was locating his fastball early in the count. So he was good. You know, the conversation was not as hard as I expected. He said he was pretty much at his limit. And I figured that at about 100 pitches or so, he'd be good. And, you know, we get through the seventh inning and we'll have Huddy and do. By conversation today, I knew we need to get an out from Corbin or two. He was available.
Davey, did you have deja vu at all, I guess, with the no-hit bid again? And how many pitches for Doolittle kind of convinced you that it was time that you had to use Corbin?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, he was, you know, he pitched yesterday. When he gets to that 20, 22 pitch mark, I think, you know, for Doo, after going 2 days in a row, that's plenty.
The Eaton at bat, were you at all interested that Wainwright was still in there after Eaton had a good history against him? And also, can you talk about Michael Taylor a little bit, both his home run and the ball in center field that he missed?
Yeah, you know, for Eaton, I mean, Wainwright was really good today, really good, as he typically is. I mean, his breaking ball was really good. He was locating his fastballs. I think Eaton just put a really good at-bat on him. I mean, he struggled throughout the day, you know, with the breaking ball, and that last, you know, he got the count to 3-2 and able to squeak a ball by Goldschmidt there. It was tough today to see, really was. I mean, a lot of guys were talking about, and then when it got really dark there at the end there, you saw Eaton come in on a line drive that almost went over his head, and then Michael, you know, did the same thing. So they had a tough time seeing the ball off the bat.
I could follow up. A lot of us just don't know what to make of baseball in the shadows in October. This was today extreme because it was so bright sunlight and such a high sky. And
yeah, it was tough. It was really tough. I mean, you know, as a hitter, when I played, when it was like that and the guy had a good breaking ball, you didn't see it. I mean, it was tough to see. It really was. You know, you had to bear down and try all kinds of stuff, you know, eye black, put your helmet lower, anything to be able to see the ball. But it was tough.
Dave, you guys are 2-0 now, heading home for 3. I know you take everything one game at a time, but you probably couldn't have scripted this, I guess, any better. What's the sense as you guys get ready to go home?
No, you know, we're going home playing in front of our home fans. It's kind of nice going back up 2-0 in the series, but, you know, those guys are really good over there. I mean, the series is far from over. We got a day off tomorrow. We're going to spend the night, get a good rest, and work out tomorrow for a little while, and then you know, get back at it the next day. You know, we got Strauss on the mound, so hopefully he comes out and gives us what he can. And hopefully he does what Sanchi and Scherzer did, you know, the last two games. But, we still got a long way to go. My message after the game was still, hey, 1-0 every day.
Davey, after game 5 in L.A. on Wednesday, Patrick had mentioned that how appreciative he was that you trusted him again in a relief appearance after how things went in game 3 in D.C. How important for you is it to not go away from your guys? I know they're strategic moves, but also is there part of it that you wanted to show him that you still did trust him in a spot like that?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, that's a big part of it. You know, that these guys have to learn, you know, they learn how to bounce back. And we're not going to give up on them. You know, we jokingly, when I went out there, you know, he looked at me and made a comment. He goes, I think I could be a good left-on-left specialist. I go, you're not quite there yet. But he came in and got a big out for us. I mean, that was a big out, keeping Wong off the bases.
Davey, are you getting a sense of kind of how unusual it is? You have a pitcher take a no-hitter into the eighth, a no-hitter into the seventh, a guy back from paternity leave comes in to save the game, the manager leaves to go have a heart procedure a few weeks ago. I mean, it's getting to be a really long list of unusual things.
It sounds like a book. But, yeah, I mean, this year was definitely not scripted. I mean, we've been through a lot, and I'm proud of the guys sticking together, and we're at a good spot right now. So they're having fun. You know, the biggest thing is they're having a lot of fun. They're enjoying it. I tell them, hey, take every moment in, you know, because I played for 16 years before I got a chance to play in the playoffs, so it doesn't happen every day.
I just wanted to follow up. We never or don't ask enough, how are you feeling? And these are supposed to be even more pressure games. How are you coping with it with it?
Thank you, Tom. That's nice of you. But I feel good. I mean, these last couple of days, who needs a stress test, right? So, I mean, yeah, I'm getting one every day. So, but, yeah, I'm doing really, really well. Thank you.
Just wanted to ask, it's homecoming weekend at Mizzou. What's this win mean to be back in St. Louis area on homecoming weekend?
I don't know. I'm playing for the other 24 guys in the clubhouse. Really want to win here, so that's what's going to happen. We're going to compete and win.
You're out there. Is there any thought to the potential history you're making, or is it just all about winning that game?
Just throwing up zeros. It's a 1-0 game. You know, mistakes are – it's razor thin out there. You can't give – you know, I'm really thinking don't give up a solo shot. You know, just trying to work with Zook and just navigate through the lineup. Just stay in the moment, stay with Zook, and just keep your mind of what we need to do. And he did a great job of, you know, sequencing them, and we did a good job of just executing pitches.
Max, first, just how did you feel the whole, you know, kinetic chain or whatever you want to call it? And also, you and Anibal 6 years ago took back-to-back no-hitters into the sixth inning in the postseason, never been done before. Now you both took him into the sixth inning, him into the eighth. Can you talk about how unusual that is, if you talked about it, anything?
I just know when Sanchi gets locked in, he's nasty. He can just absolutely do anything with the baseball, and he's such a treat to watch. The way he can change speeds and execute pitches, it's a treat to really watch and get to pitch with him. You know, for me, I'm just in the moment. I'm not trying to do anything great. I'm just trying to stick within my game, and just work with Zook.
What's your vantage point on that single? And in that spot, are you kind of okay with him not taking the risk there and diving for it, given what the alternative could have
been? It's 1-0. We can't afford to, get a runner in scoring position. That's just the way the game was being played at that point. That was, just keep him at first and, go to work.
And you're at bat there with the double. Did you expect them to go to Miller? Were you surprised to see Wainwright stay in? And can you just walk us through what you were trying to do there and just how the at bat played out?
You kind of have to keep locked in on who's on the mound at the time. I try to even look out into the bullpen, to see who's warming up, because now you're trying to think managerial when you should be just focused on hitting. So, I walked to the plate, facing Wainwright, and him and Yachty were kind of confusing me all day in that at bat, and keeping me really, really off balance, in that sense, 3-2, kind of knew he was going to go to the breaking ball, more so than any other pitch or any other bat that I've had. Knew he had to throw it for a strike, so it kind of gave me an opportunity to sit on it and got it and hit it where they weren't.
What they were doing to you in earlier at-bats in the game, what did you take from those into that final at-bat?
Yeah, everything I was thinking, they did the opposite. So I was thinking 3-2 should be a heater here, and I'm like, well, that's the opposite, so I should – George Costanza it and just go ahead and sit breaking ball, and that's what happened, and George was right, and I happened to be right.
We've heard a few guys, Adam, talk about how the shadows affected hitting in this game and pitching, Max. Was that last at-bat, the one that you had the big hit on, was it easier because of the light?
Yeah, my last at-bat was the first time I actually saw the ball the whole way. The shadows were extremely difficult. You saw Colton Wong have two check swings and barreled both of them up. You just saw some really bad swings and bad counts, but that's what you have to deal with when you have a 3 o'clock game. It's kind of unfortunate you have a playoff game, a really big important game, and you have to deal with that when you usually could have another time slot and then I have to deal with it. But going into the game, we had an understanding that was going to be a huge effect. And Mikey at that big homer, we had, all the confidence. One run could win this game with the shadows. But like you said, as the game went on, you were able to see much better.
Max, you mentioned that you're so locked into the postseason. Davey said before the game, with the start we had to the season, we've been in playoff mode for 2-3 months now. What's this ride for both of you? What's this ride been like when you're just on this, in this zone and on this run?
It's fun. This team's got a lot of personality and a lot of grit to it. And we got really 25 guys, no matter who it is, and when their number gets called, they're going to lay it all on the line for each other. It's such a treat to be in a clubhouse like this and have to know that that's the type of baseball we're playing. And it, right now, it just seems like anybody who gets their number called is going to do something big. You know, somebody might make a mistake and then come back and do something big for the team. And this is really – it's not just one guy carrying this team or two guys. It's really just a collective of everybody out there doing their job.
Max, how enjoyable was the dugout dance after you came out?
You look forward to that. Don't.
Yeah,
come on.
Yeah, I know. I always joke. They always dance for solo shots and this and that. But, you know, what happens when there's a two-run shot? You guys don't dance. So – you know, there's I think two runs is worth more than a solo shot. So they never dance for two runs. So I'm always the guy who wants
a two-run shot, a two-run double.
Right.
So we always dance for solo shots, and he's like, oh, solo shot's not a big deal. And then we hit a two-run double, and we don't dance because no one hit a home run. I'm sorry, I kind of cut you off, but that's clarification.
That's what's going on there.
Yeah. But
one word for Max. Will you monitor your arm on a daily basis leading up to if you have another start in the series to see if you can come out of the pen?
I doubt it. You know, my arm was kind of gas coming into today. You know, knew I didn't have like 120 pitches, knew I only had really 100. And my arm actually felt better around the fourth inning once it kind of loosened up and freed up. And once I got to that 100 pitch count, you know, the only thing that was going to keep me in the game is that I found my arm slot. But when, you know, with the lefties coming up, we had Doolittle. My spot in the order was coming up and a chance to get out of there with 100 pitches and kind of recover at this point in time. That's why it all made sense to go to Doolittle in that situation.
Adam, can you speak to what it's like to play behind on a ball last night, Max today, and then know you're going home, have Steven and Patrick, just what kind of confidence that breeds in a clubhouse dugout?
Well, we've done it all year. Right. You know, nothing's really changed. You know, stay on your toes because you might not get a ball for seven innings, and then all of a sudden you might get one. You know, I've been blessed to play behind some really, really good pitchers, and you just enjoy the masterpiece that they're painting. I mean, realistically, and admire it, and you know, it's fun to play behind really good pitchers, guys that want to go out there and compete, like the four guys that we have. So. You know, like I said, just enjoy the ride, you know, be ready when that one ball might be hit to you, might make the difference, and, you know, score a run for him.
Adam, you had a ball in the outfield that looked like it was hard to track. Michael had one he didn't track. Mm-hmm. In addition to not seeing the ball hitting, was it a tough day to play the outfield or just a couple?
Yeah, no, it definitely was. Oddly enough, when the sun went down, it got super dark, you know, and when you can't hear the bat, you know, the ball hit the bat, you know, with the noise, it makes it extremely difficult. I froze on mine big time, you know, and was able to, you know, have a little bit of makeup speed and catch it. Mikey did the exact same thing. You know, when the ball's hit, you kind of freeze, and if you can't quite see it as well, the depth perception is a little funky. It makes for an interesting play, but you know, we both have to make those plays. But it, like I said, just difficult. Really all day, the lighting is just constantly changing and really challenged us.
I know you play them one at a time, but can you say anything about going home to Nats Park and to your home crowd up 2-0 and what that'll be like?
I'm excited. Our park has been absolutely legit when it comes to the fan base and them coming out and supporting us and, you know, helping start the wave type deal with the emotion and just getting it on our side right away. So I think we're both really excited to go home. Play in a familiar park where people are cheering for you instead of against you. So I'm excited.
Yeah, I mean, the atmosphere in the playoffs at Nats Park has been incredible. They come out and they go nuts from the first pitch. So I have a feeling it's even going to be more crazy given that what we've done and, you know, really our first postseason win as an organization. I think that means a lot to everybody in D.C. So it should be a fun time.
We'll finish up in the first row.
Max, just curious from a pitcher's perspective, what did you see from Wainwright today? Because you guys had a pretty memorable battle today.
Yeah, I mean, he goes out there and competes as well as anybody in this league. And he knows how to execute pitches, and he works with Yachty so well. And he's got just a curveball that just never gets there, and it breaks so much. And they really know how to move the ball around together and be in sync. I mean, that you knew he's going to go out there and throw up zeros. You know, we got lucky in the first pitch of an inning, and Mikey was able to get a homer. But, I mean, he bared down and continued to throw up zeros and execute pitches. And the margin for error was just – there wasn't any margin for error.
Steven, what's the day before a start like for you? So, for example, we won't talk to you tomorrow. Will you go to the park? What will you do the day before?
Yeah, is this on? Oh, okay, sorry. Yeah, I mean, I have a pretty consistent routine the day before. So I'm just going to get on the plane tomorrow and go into the stadium and do that routine and treat it as such.
They, starting pitchers say that they feed off of one another, so I would imagine that you've got a lot to feed off of after these first two games. What's it like, you know, following those two performances in the first two games?
Yeah, I mean, it was a lot of fun to watch. And, you know, they went out there and they attacked guys, and I think that's the biggest thing. That's one thing that you can't control. And, you know, I'm going to hopefully continue to do that.
Any thoughts on what was particular? I mean, you saw no hitters taken into the eighth and into the seventh. What was particularly special about Anibal and Max the last 2 days? What did they do that even you would say, that's really good?
Well, you know, I think, you know, they controlled the tempo of the game very well. They had a lot of poise out there. It just seems like they were just playing catch out there. And, you know, it's easier said than done, but, you know, they had everything working, and they made it look real easy.
You've been a National your whole career, been there 10 years. What are your feelings on going back to Nationals Park up 2-0?
Yeah, I mean, it's another game, and I think we've done a pretty good job thus far of taking it one day at a time. I think it was kind of out of necessity back in May, so we're just going to stick to what we've been doing and keep leaving it all out there on the field.
Is this kind of the way that the organization has, not scripted it, but wanted it to go for so many years, like dominant starting pitchers, you know, giving you guys a chance, maybe an edge in every game you play? Is this kind of nice to see that fulfillment?
I mean, it's tough to say. I think, you know, when you start the season, you know, everybody's going to have their picks out there, and then it's one thing leads to another. But I think the biggest thing is that we've really, over the last couple of years, tried to address is, you know, the culture in the clubhouse. And, you know, Davey's been great. He's kind of let, you know, a lot of the guys who've been there a long time kind of take over the clubhouse. And the additions that we brought in this year has only made it, you know, so much better. And we have a lot of fun playing together. We have a lot of fun winning together. And we just want to keep that going.
Steven, culture is thrown around a lot in sports, especially the last few years. When you say the culture in the clubhouse as well, the vets are taking over, can you just elaborate on that, what that means to a lot of people who wouldn't know what that means?
Well, I think it's, you know, when things, it's human nature for when things go wrong to, you know, maybe not want to look in the mirror. And I can honestly say we don't really have that kind of feeling in the clubhouse. You know, it's more so like, you know, picking each other up and sticking together. And, you know, we're just tight-knit group of guys. And, you know, we talk about family a lot. And, you know, I'd say that's pretty accurate.
Even obviously you had a terrific year and you've been just as good, if not even better, in the postseason. What do you feel is working so well for you right now?
I mean, for me, it's try and focus on what you can control, disregard what you cannot control, and that's really comes down to executing a game plan, taking it one pitch at a time, and just trying to make as many good pitches as possible and letting the chips fall as they may.